When he called the disciples, he said, "Come, follow me." And they left their nets, they left their livelihood, they left it all, and they followed him. Very imperfectly, but they had their eyes on the perfect one. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, as the children may be dismissed to children's church. 1 Peter chapter 2, we've been studying the book of 1 Peter, and we are making some progress, whether you realize it or not. We are moving a few verses at a time. Sometimes we pause on a verse because they are just so rich. Well, I say that about every place we preach, right? This is rich. This is rich. Well, this is rich with so much to consider. But we're at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we've come to verse 5, but we're going to back up and start with verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Are you desiring? Do you crave the word of God? Are you reading your Bible? That's where it starts. We've got to just read our Bible every day, preferably in the morning. You begin your day by reading the Bible. Say, "I don't know where to read." Well, just start with Matthew then, or start with Ephesians. Read the book of Ephesians. Read Philippians, a wonderful book. Only 4 chapters. Read it through several times. Read it through 5 times in a row. Or go to Genesis. Or you can start with Exodus. You say, "I never do get past Genesis." Well, the remedy for that is don't start with Genesis then. Start with Exodus. Or start with 1 Kings. You know, just read a chapter a day. Or read 2 or 3 a day. You know, read our Bible. We're not going to grow as babies grow unless we desire this. And we're not going to desire the milk and the word until we read it. "That you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed." So again, verse 5, "Ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. Be with us. May we listen to what you have for us. Help me as I preach to make things clear. And may we go away knowing we've met with you and are blessed by you, Lord, from the reading and the study and the considering and the application of your precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a blessing we have, and what a blessing we can be as we reflect upon the marvelous provision of God in making us a spiritual house. Verse 5. "By the Holy Spirit, and making us a holy priesthood." You talking about me? Yes, I'm talking about you. A spiritual house. You, a holy priesthood. But corporately and individually. What a blessing that we then have access to God, whereby we can offer up spiritual sacrifices. I can offer up sacrifices to God? Yes, spiritual sacrifices, and they are acceptable to God. Now, we've been looking at the blessings of believers. This chapter is just full of what I like to call blessings of believers. Last time we saw the direction of the believer, the blessing of going in the right direction. Verse 4, to whom coming? We're to come to him. We're to come to the right direction. And then we see another blessing of the believer is a foundation of the believer, a living stone. We're coming to a living stone, verse 4. And then we see the ministry or service of the believer, or the blessing of the ministry of the believer in verse 5. As lively stones, build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we have the ministry of the believer. It's a ministry of life, a living stone. It's a ministry of priesthood. You are a holy priesthood. And then today we come to the ministry of spiritual sacrifice. And now we're going to have another outline. Now I try to do outlines, but sometimes my outlines, they all get mixed up, and they're helpful to follow for a while. But you know, the main thing is, what does the Bible say? The main thing is not how do we outline. And I try, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But anyway, we're talking this morning about a ministry or a service of spiritual sacrifice. What spiritual sacrifices can we then offer? Surely this would include the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, as we read in Hebrews 13, 15, and we'll come to that in a little bit. Peter, interestingly, uses three different symbols or pictures from the Old Testament sacrificial system, and he applies them to you and me, to New Testament believers. He refers to us as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So we have a house, a priesthood, and sacrifices. We see here in this one phrase in verse 5, we see temples, a spiritual house, we see priests, holy priesthood, and we see sacrifices. And Peter uses all three pictures to adequately describe our Christian faith. Isn't it amazing how, and Peter's always going back to the Old Testament, many times here in chapter 2, and we saw that in chapter 1. And of course, Christ fulfilled all three through his death and resurrection. His house, his heaven, is the true temple built by God. The real temple is in heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ now awaits us to arrive one day. His priesthood is perfect and eternal. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice that didn't just cover our sin, but took them clean away. And we as Christians are now the temple of God, or the temples, plural, of God. We are the temples of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? He's saying, don't you know you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So be careful on how you handle God's temple. That is how you live your life. So we then are a spiritual house by virtue of the marvelous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, God, the God of all creation, living in me, tabernacling in me. My body, a habitation of the thrice holy God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How can that happen? I don't know. I do not know, and I don't believe anyone in the universe knows except our God of how that can happen. But it's true. It's true. God living in me. And thus we are a holy priesthood, made holy by the same indwelling Holy Spirit. And not by any great sacrifice that we were able to make, but holy and only through the great sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how that became possible. Christ on the cross for you. And we're not talking, when we talk about a holy priesthood, we're not talking about a false, fake priest wearing a white robe of ritualistic, ceremonial, empty nonsense. We believers are the true priesthood. Okay, you got that? You are a priest if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. The believers are the true priesthood with direct access to God, with the function of representing God to other men and of bringing men to God. That's how we fulfill our priesthood. Declaring the message of God to other men that we might bring them to God by their calling on the name of God. We are sacrifices by offering ourselves to God. Turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. God through Jesus Christ has taken the shadows of the Old Testament, the types, if you will, and made them realities or antitypes in the New Testament. Our temple is heavenly. Our sacrifices are spiritual. Our priesthood is perfectly holy as we are a priesthood in Christ's name and through his blood. So as a holy priesthood, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's consider further Bible teaching about these sacrifices and what we're to make. What kind of sacrifices we're to make when we offer up spiritual sacrifices. And friend, you've got to do this. This is required of you as a believer. So you may be thinking, well, this, he's talking about Old Testament stuff. No, no. The Old Testament was a shadow. We're now living in the substance, in reality. Number one, there is the living sacrifice of the body. Or the living sacrifice of the body is the first spiritual sacrifice we're to make. Or we might call it the blessing of sacrificing my body to the Lord. See, we're talking about the blessing. This is a blessing. Then I get to sacrifice myself to God. Can you think of anything greater that we can do? So let me say, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. I'm to do that. Have I done it? Am I doing it? And present. That's all you got to do. Just present. That means to bring, offer, give. It means God just wants me to give myself to him. Bring yourself, offer yourself, give yourself. Even more, offer your body to God. In other words, I offer that which I love because I love my body. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, Paul says in Ephesians 5, but he nourishes and cherishes it. We love ourselves, right? We don't have to learn how to love ourselves. My problem is I love myself too much. I need to get my eyes and my heart off myself and on others, right? So we're to present. The word present here is a technical word of what a priest would do in the Old Testament. It would be used of an Old Testament priest offering the bodies of animals in sacrifice to God in obedience to God's command. Read Exodus, read Leviticus, and we see that. It was a very solemn and a very important act on the part of the priesthood as given by God. But we now are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That of the priests, they were slain. They were dead. They killed him. God doesn't want your dead sacrifice, right? He doesn't want, you know, let me give you an example. Our wives want us to live for him, live for them. You know, we say, well, I die. You know, I tell my wife every day, honey, I would die for you. I'd do anything for you. I would die for you. And the other day, she finally had it. She slapped the table and said, you keep saying you'd die for me, and you never will. You never do. She didn't say that. I know I've used that illustration before, but I'm just kidding. She hates it when I use her for an illustration. But they want to... Our spouses, our children want us to live for them. It's easy to say, I'd die for you, but it's another thing to live, to actually live. God doesn't want our dead sacrifice, and he won't have you if you wait till you're dying or dead. Well, I'll start serving God when I'm on my deathbed. Too late. That's too late. He would have you now, and he demands all of you now, but I've got to present myself to him. We also notice that the body includes the mind, as we read, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We give him all that we are and all that we've got, our body, our mind, our spirit. And you and I need to surrender all that we are to God. We surrender in that we give up. It's kind of like we say to the Lord, I give up. I just give up. Maybe we say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to serve you in my own strength. I'm all yours. Do with me what you will, for I know not what else I can do. Isaac said, my father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Genesis 22:7. Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Well, we know the lamb has been offered in our place. Now, you and I must offer ourselves to him who died in our place. And sometimes we won't give all to God for fear that he's going to ask us to do something that we just don't want to do or we're not going to feel comfortable doing. And we hold back because we're afraid of that. We're afraid of that. Kind of like, well, I joined the church, but I'm afraid I might have to teach a class or something, you know, and we hold back. Or I'm afraid I might have to give more in the offering. We hold back. Or I'm afraid I might have to do more ministry. No. I get the privilege of serving God, don't I? Don't hold back, whatever. God's plans and will for you are perfectly fitted for you. You know that. They're perfectly fitted for you and will bring you the greatest joy and satisfaction ever. Your plans won't cut it. And you're going to be miserable just living for yourself, apart from wanting to know the will of God. Living for him will bring the greatest joy and satisfaction ever. And when we try to go it alone or try to do it in our own way, in our own time, we fail. We fall flat on our faces. But when we move with God, we may fall, but we won't fail, for he will never fail us. So don't be afraid to give it all to God. His plan is perfect. Jeremiah 29:10-11. Many of you maybe have claimed this as a life verse. For thus saith the Lord, and after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, in other words, after the children of Israel have finished their 70-year captivity, God said, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expectant end. Lord says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. I know the designs. That's the idea, that word thoughts, the designs I have for you. Some translate it plans. I know the plans, my thoughts are what my plans are. To give you an expectant, an expectation, a final end, a hope for the future is the idea, expectation. God knows that, and it's perfectly fitted for you. Now, these people, because of sin, were going into captivity. They're going into bondage to a pagan nation, but God blesses them in the trying time by giving them a hope and a promise. Now, this was specifically for Israel, applying the land, but I believe the principle obviously applies to us as believers. God allowed them to be taken captive, but at the same time, he would be with them and he would bless them, and indeed, he did. We need to remember that our life is not out of control. It's not. It's not. Our circumstances are not haphazard and beyond the grace and love of God. God is with us right smack dab in the middle of the most trying circumstances. He is. I don't care what you're going through. You can't name a situation, a trial that you're going through where God is not there. He is there if you're his child. And knowing that he is there, we just serve him in any and every situation. We present ourselves to him a living sacrifice. So as there is a living sacrifice in the body, secondly, there is a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, if you will. Hebrews 13, 13. There is a sacrifice of praise, or the blessing of sacrificing my praise, we might word it. Verse 13, Hebrews 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. There it is. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, here's the sacrifice. It doesn't cost us anything as far as cost is concerned. We ought to gladly, willingly, joyfully offer this sacrifice to our God, who is so worthy of our praise. Always, always. We gladly give praise and honor to whom honor and praise is due. When maybe our son or daughter is performing in whatever it is, a music contest or an athletic contest or the spelling bee, and afterwards we say, good job. I appreciate your effort. It was great. Thank you for doing your best, you know. And we want to lavish praise on them, and we ought to. It's so important. We praise our spouse for being such a wonderful spouse and meeting our needs and helping us. We praise our parents. We praise our peers. We praise our children. And we gladly do that. We give honor and praise to whom it is due. Our fellow men and women who are deserving of our praise for their service and dedication. We praise our military for their sacrifice. And we ought to. We ought to. But how much more is the Lord our God deserving of all the praise that we can heap upon him? Turn, if you will, to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. And we see at the finishing up of the temple, David prepared all the material for Solomon, his son, to build the temple at the end of 1 Chronicles. And then in 2 Chronicles, they go to work. And now the temple has been built. And what do they do? Do they pat themselves on the back, on the chest, saying, wow, what a good job we did. I'm sure glad we hired that carpenter. I'm sure glad that we had people that gave. No, this is what they did. For 2 Chronicles 7, 6, and the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord. Music is given to praise the Lord with, because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Then look at verse 30, 2 Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles 29 now, and verse 30. And there is more mention of praise in these passages, but I think the word praise we find the word praise 276 times, if I remember. So maybe that means we ought to praise the Lord 276 times every day. 2 Chronicles 29:30, another king here, Hezekiah. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites. This is under a reformation or revival. And so they commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praise with gladness. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped. And then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart burnt offering. So there we have, in the same passages, they sang praise and they brought sacrifices. They offered the sacrifices of praise. And then look at Ezra. Just keep going to your right. The next book is Ezra, chapter 3. The people at the end of the captivity have gone back to Israel and they need to rebuild the temple. And verse 10 of Ezra 3, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they sent the priests in their apparel with the trumpets and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord at the ordinance of David the king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." Wow. That's what we need to do. We come and we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord on Sunday. We praise the Lord Sunday night. We praise the Lord Monday morning. We praise the Lord at noon on Monday. We praise the Lord over and over. Psalm 50. Verse 14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Psalm 69:30, "I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95, beautiful psalm. I wish we had time to read it. Take time to read Psalm 95, filled with praise. Psalm 111, 112, 113. They all begin and end with praise, it seems like. The sacrifice of praise involves the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips is about what we say. It's about what we say. And what we say is important, is it not? The power of the tongue is great. It has power to destroy, and it has power to build. One of the Proverbs says that. Now, I can't think of which one. The life and death are in the power of the tongue. We can give life to our children, or we can destroy them by the words of our mouth. We can encourage our friend or our spouse by what we say and how we say it. Well, we think of that in the realm of human relationships, but do we consider the power and importance of what we say with our mouths in relationship to our praise to God? Our words matter, even our words spoken to the Lord. To think that what we say is of little importance is to think contrary to Scripture. Our words are a barometer. They're a revealer of our character, of who we really are. Listen to Psalm 50, verse 22. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God." We offer praise, we glorify the Lord. To offer praise is one of the best sacrifices we can make. To render up our tribute of praise to the one who is worthy. Alexander McLaren, a great Scottish Baptist preacher, said this back in the 1800s, "The true offering is not the slaying of animals or the presentation of any material things, but the utterance of hearts welling up thankfulness." That's the true offering, the utterance of hearts
that we present to him. In the tabernacle of the Exodus, there was an altar of incense that was to be kept burning day by day with the aroma flowing upward to God. It was a picture of giving thanks to God continually. And our lives are to be like that thank offering, that aroma, the incense of prayer and praise to God. And another way we offer the sacrifice of praise is by our speaking to men, by talking to people about our God and on behalf of God. You know, we can talk to people about anything, you know, a variety of subjects, be it sports or hunting. You know, we can talk about the Jayhawks or the Shockers or the Wildcats or the Missouri Tigers. Oops, I'm sorry. I get confused because my daughter and son-in-law are Missouri people now. So they anyway. We love talking about sports, hunting, children, cooking, health, politics, and on we can go. But when it comes to our Savior and what He's done for us, how is it that we grow silent? We will speak upon that which interests us. Which interests us? Does Christ interest us? Our faith will grow by speaking of it and speaking clearly and boldly about it and about him. And another quote from Alexander McLaren, he said, "I venture to think that if your Christianity was deeper, it would not be so dumb or mute. Your strength, your conviction by speech, you strengthen your conviction by speech. A man's belief in anything grows incalculably by the very fact of proclaiming it. And there is no surer way to lose moral and spiritual convictions than to huddle them up in secret chambers of our hearts. It's like a man carrying a bit of ice in his palm. He locks his fingers over it, and when he opens them, it is all run out and is gone. If you want to deepen your Christianity, declare it. And if you would have your hearts more full of gratitude, speak your praise." We need to be praising and praising and offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips. So there's the living sacrifice in the body. There's the sacrifice of praise. And then thirdly, there's the sacrifice of sharing, or the sacrifice of help, the blessing of sacrificing by sharing. And I'm going to stop there because I want to, I don't want to rush through this. So I'm just going to stop. And the last one would be the sacrifice of death. But may God just bless his word. I believe we've looked at enough. May God help us to offer up spiritual sacrifices to him. I was only kidding. I'm not going to really finish this. No, I'm not. That would be mean, wouldn't it? It's kind of like close your books and then you're halfway out the door. Wait a minute, I'm not done yet. I am done. May God bless his word to our hearts and may we apply ourselves to what he's given us. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Bless now as we close. We want to give praise and honor to whom it is due. And surely praise and honor is due your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for who you are and how you blessed us so richly. And Lord, we are so selfish, and our tendency is to not offer to you that which is due your holy name. May we be willing, may you make us willing to give you all the glory and the praise and the honor that is due your precious name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn, number 365. 365, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. Let's stand together as we sing. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it hold thy love to me. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it hold thy love to me.
drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son.
Let's sing the second as the last. Consecrate me, Lord, to thy service.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy cross this bleeding side.
Lord bless as you're dismissed. Hope to see you tonight. Sign up for the things you need to sign up for. Thank you so much.